Morning, we'll be looking at the New Testament book of Romans. Romans is one of my favorite books of the Bible, and we'll be looking in Romans at a very familiar verse, one that we've visited many times. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we'll be looking at that verse this morning as we think about family secrets. So look at me, please stand and join me in the reading of God's Word. As we look at Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Here Paul writes, saying, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose." Father, bless Your Word. Speak to us this morning as we seek Your face. Give us understanding. Give us wisdom so that we might grow strong spiritually as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here Paul writes a very powerful verse. And we know that even though Paul was penning this verse, it was the Holy Spirit that was leading him and giving him the words to write. But in verse 24, he says, "We are saved by hope. But hope that is not seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose." What a powerful word this morning for us to think about as we think about family secrets. Every family has its share of secrets. Those things that we know about ourselves within the family circle that those outside of the family may not readily know. Well, in my family growing up, in my family in Mississippi, it was my Uncle Rayburn. And he was sort of like Otis from Andy Griffith. You remember Otis? He's doing better now, my mom says. She just came back from a visit out there. But he was sort of like Otis from Andy Griffith in his heyday. You know, he was kin. You can't choose your kin, folks, right? You're stuck with whoever God gives you. But yet, you know, with something like that, you know, you don't go out and broadcast it to those outside of the family. But as God's people, we are a part of God's family. We are a part of the family of God, the body of Christ, the body of believers. And in God's family, we have a family secret. There's something that we know that those outside of the family of God, that those outside of the house of faith don't know. And our family secret is found here in Romans 8, 28. This verse has given more help, more hope, more strength, more peace of mind, more comfort, arguably, than perhaps any other single verse in the Bible. How many times have we, in our time of need, in our time of distress and troubles and trials, how many times have we turned to this verse and climbed up on it and stood there and found God's comfort in our time of need? What do we know about this precious promise of God here in verse 28? Well, we know, first of all, we can know that it is confidential. He says there in verse 28, "For we know." Who is this "we" that he's writing about? Here he says that Paul begins with the words "we know." Here he's referring to the redeemed. He's referring to those within the house of faith, the body of Christ, the body of believers, the church, the family of God. Paul says, "For we know." In other words, we have exclusivity to the promise of God. God is speaking to His children. This is referring to believers. This precious promise this morning that He writes to us is exclusively reserved for those of the household of faith, for you and I, and for every saint of God that has trusted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, for those who have made Christ their Savior and their Lord. Now, for those outside of the family of God, for those that are lost and don't know Christ as their Lord and Savior, they don't know this truth, but we in the family of God
We know it. Only those in the family of God can comprehend it.
Why? Because God, through the Holy Spirit, gives us understanding and He gives us insight into spiritual things.
We can have confidence and know that God is speaking to us this morning through this single verse within the Word of God. He's speaking to the redeemed that through any trouble or trial that we may go through, that we may walk through, that we may face, the Word says we can know. We can know. Now, there are a lot of things that we can't know.
There are a lot of things that we don't know. You know, as a parent, you're charged with teaching your children, but I realize as a parent that it's a test of humility, because as a parent you realize how much you don't know. And so here we see that there are a lot of things that we can't know, but here in this verse there is one thing that we can know, that we can have assurance of. He gives us the assurance because we are His. He tells us we know. Well, what is it that we can know this morning? What is it that He's referring to? Well, look at the next part of that verse. He says that things work together for our good. So not only is God's promise confidential, it's reserved for you and I and for all of those saints of God that have trusted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but it's constructive. God's promise is constructive. He promises to bring about good. He promises to, when we bring Him our messes, our problems, our situations, God can work and bring about good through it all.
Have you ever had one of those days where it seems where no good could come from it, where nothing could go right? We've all had days like that, haven't we?
How in the world can any good come from what I'm going through right now? I don't see how any good can come from it. It's a bad situation. I don't understand how any good. It's impossible for any good to come from what I'm going through currently in my life. You see, we may not see, or we may not be able to fathom the good. We may not can see how any good can come from what we're going through. We may not be able to understand it, how any good can come from our predicament, but God can, because He's God. He knows all things. He is sovereign. He is creator over all the universe. God can see the good that can come from the bad, even when we can't see it. God can see it. How many times in our own experiences, how many times, as we look back over our lives with retrospect, how many times can we see that we went through things that looked like total disasters, that looked like an absolute mess or an impossibility that it could be resolved or that any good could come from it? How many times have we went through those things that seemed so disastrous then, but yet ended up working out for the good? Terry and Alofa can testify to that this morning, can't you? From where we were standing at last week, when it looked like there was no hope, God worked through that situation and brought good. God has a way of doing that in our lives. God can work to bring about good. God can take all of the bad in our lives, the bad situations, bad circumstances, bad outcomes, bad choices, bad incidences, bad mistakes, and He can use it constructively, and He can work in it to bring about some level of good out of it and into our lives. We may not be able to see that good. We may not be able to understand it. That good may be for somebody else. That good may be for the kingdom of God at large. But yet, just because we can't see the good, just because we can't see how God's going to bring good out of something so terrible or so bad, doesn't mean that God's not actively at work in our lives and in our situation. You see, we may not be able to see that good even this side of heaven. We may not be able to see that good for years down the road. We may not see it in this lifetime. But when God says it's good, it's good. When God promises good in our lives, then God's good is always good. Whether we can see it, whether we can realize it, whether we can comprehend it or fathom it or not, God's good is always good. It requires faith. It requires us to trust in God that He can bring about good where it seems that no good
can be found. He says, we know that things work for our good. For our good.
Well, what things is he referring to? What are those things that God can work for our good? Well, look at the next part of the verse.
And I skipped over this word intentionally, but I want us to go back to it and look at it now. He says, for we know that what? All things work together for good. He says all things. You see, that's all encompassing.
It's comprehensive in scope. So God's promise is also, not only is it confidential, is it for those who have trusted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, not only is it constructive, where He promises that to bring some good out of bad situations in our lives, but it's also comprehensive. He says all, that's A-L-L, all things.
That means there's nothing off limits that God can't touch and move in our lives to bring about good. He says all things. That's all encompassing. And see, all means all. When God says it's good, it's good. And so God says what He means, and He means what He says here. We have to trust Him at His word. We have to trust God at His word when we're going through something where we can't see any good that could come out of it. You see, there's no play on words here. God's word is truth. He says all things. We can't say, yeah, but God, you don't understand what I'm going through, or yeah, but God, look at what I'm facing. Here He says all things.
You see, it's assuring to us this morning that we can take God at His word. That's what He wants us to do. He wants us to take Him at His word and have faith in knowing that God understands this morning what we're going through. God understands what we're facing. Nothing sneaks up on God. Nothing takes Him by surprise. Nothing can overpower God and leave Him at a loss. He is on His throne. And here He says that we can know that all things in our lives, can work together for good. So we see that Paul, had he wrote some things, had he wrote many things, or even if he had wrote most things, then maybe we might be better able to grasp it. Maybe it might seem more believable to us, but here he says all things, meaning that God can take even our worst mistakes, God can take our biggest messes and disasters, and He can weave them and work them together in the tapestry of the cross so that all things truly can work together for our good and for God's glory. Now, when I was a kid, my mom and daddy would make me work, and they said it was good for me. They said it was good. It didn't seem good to me. From my viewpoint, from my perspective, I didn't see any good in it. But they made me work. They say, it'll make you a better person. This is good for you. You know, that's the way it is with God sometimes. Whether we can see the good or not, God knows what's best for us. God knows what we need, and He knows how to work in our lives to bring about that good. You see, sometimes we confuse the word good with being pleasant or comfortable or being wonderful. But God's good is not necessarily our good. God's understanding of what's good for our lives is not necessarily our understanding of what's good for our life. Because we view the world and we view our lives and we view the situations that we're in through the context of a sin-filled life. So we don't see things the way God sees things. We can only see the here and now. We can look back on yesterday, and we can think about memories in our lives. We can see the here and now, but we cannot see tomorrow. God sees today, God sees yesterday, and God sees tomorrow. You know, we sort of have like a weed's eye view or a worm's eye view of our life. God has that eagle eye view. He sees all things. He knows all things. Nothing is hidden from God. He can take those things and work them together in the tapestry of the cross and truly bring about all things can work together for our good and for His glory. You see, when God says good, He means good according to His will and not ours. He means good according to His timetable and not ours. He means good according to His viewpoint in His understanding, because His ways are higher than our ways. His understanding is so much greater than our understanding. So when He says He can bring about good from our lives, it may not be that good that we're thinking of, but I can promise you this, it's going to be a whole lot better, because God knows all things. Well, so He says He promises to bring about good. He says, for we know that all things work together for the good. Well, for the good for whom? Who is He referring to here? Well, look at the last part of that verse. He says, for whom? If we ask the question, well, for whom does this pertain? He says, for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. So the question this morning is, do you love Him? Do you know Jesus asked that question of Peter, didn't He? Do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. You remember that conversation? So the question here is, do we love Him? And if the answer is yes, then this verse pertains to us this morning. So we can see that the promise of God here is also conditional. It's conditional. It's reserved for those who love Him and for those who are called according to His purpose. God's promise is available to us this morning. God's promise is available, but it's also conditional. Note the condition, for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. So God's promise is available. When quoting Romans 8:28, oftentimes we leave this last little phrase off. Oftentimes we don't include that when we're quoting this verse, but it's available, and it's available to those who love Him. The love spoken of here is the highest level of love, agape. It's a sacrificial love. So this promise is for the one who loves Jesus and for the one who desires to see Christ lifted up and exalted in our lives. You know, sometimes Christ is most lifted up when we're going through difficulties in our lives. Sometimes Christ is most glorified in our lives in our suffering. Sometimes we can be the greatest witness and be used to minister in a most effective way when we're going through difficulties in our lives. That may be the good that God is referring to when He's talking about bringing about good in our lives. He's not promising the comfortable. He's not promising the most pleasant. He's not promising the easiest route, the route with the least resistance, but He's promising good for those who love Him and for those who are called according to His purpose. You see, this morning, if we are His, if we belong to Jesus, if we love God, if we are called according to His purpose, meaning if we are called to deny ourselves and to take up our cross and to follow Him, then this precious promise is both available to us and it's applicable to us and to our lives. No situation that we can go through is off limits from this precious promise of God. So do we have faith this morning? Do we have faith to take God at His word? Do we have faith this morning to trust Him with our lives when we're going through those proverbial storms and trials and tribulations of our lives that we all have to endure? He says, for we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. So as the church this morning, we indeed enjoy a wonderful promise. We enjoy a promise that is exclusive to the family of God. And His promise here is precious. But not only is it a precious promise, but it's a conditional promise. It's reserved for you, Christian. It's reserved for you, saint of God. It's reserved for you who have surrendered your life to Jesus. It's a promise that's constructive. God promises to work constructively in our lives to bring about good. Good not from our perspective or from our will, but a good from God's perspective and God's will. And it's a promise that's comprehensive. He says He can work through all things in our lives. In other words, we could say in South Alabama lingo, God can take sow's ears and make silk purses. Right? God, when life gives us lemons, God can work in our lives to make lemonade. God has a way of working things out, don't He?
God always does. He has a way of working things out. God has a way of working all things together for our good when we love Him and long to see Him glorified in our lives. I don't know how He can do it. I don't know when He will do it. I don't know what method or means He will use to do it. I don't know how God can take our problems, our messes, our issues, our faults, our failures, our shortcomings, our imperfections. I don't know how God can take and work through all that and work them out for our good and for His glory, but I know that He can, and I know that He will. I know that He can, regardless of what you're going through. I know that God can, and I know that God will, because He says that it's so. Why? Because God is faithful, and God's Word is true. It's amazing to go through experiences in our lives, and as we experience those events in our lives, to run them through the filter of Romans 8:28. And as we do that, we can see the marvelous hand of God at work in our lives to bring things about. As we go through difficulties in our lives, we have to walk by faith, don't we? Many times without understanding. Because the Bible tells us to walk by faith and not by sight. And if we're going to follow Jesus, then we can't walk by sight. The only way we can follow Him is to walk by faith. So as we go through difficulties in life, it requires us to walk by faith many times without understanding. But in hindsight, as we look back, once we've gone through the valley and we're back up on the mountain, we can look back in hindsight and we can see the amazing handiwork at play, the amazing handiwork of God at play in our lives. I wonder this morning, are you going through a difficult time? I wonder this morning, are you facing a difficulty in your life? Then if so, God is speaking to you this morning. Here God is speaking to you, His child. He's concerned about you and what you're going through. He's concerned about you and your problem. And your situation. And what does He offer you in your struggle and in your plight? Here He simply says that you can know that all things in your life can work together for the good because you love Him and because you're called according to His purpose. What a comforting thought for us this morning, to know that our lives rest in God's hands. And that He has good in store for us. Not good in the way that we may see it or understand it, but an ultimate, divine, perfect good. The good of God at work in our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your precious Word. Thank You, Lord, for speaking to us, for giving us this truth, for giving us, Lord, this wonderful, precious promise. Lord, would You let it speak to us and give us comfort and give us strength this morning. Lord, no matter what we're going through today, Your Word applies to us. There's no problem that's too big, God, that You can't handle. Lord, all we need to do is just lay that problem at Your feet. Lord, to just turn it over to You and allow You to work in our lives. Lord, during this time of invitation, would You speak to us? Would You challenge us? Would You draw us to You? Lord, that if there's anyone here today that's bearing a burden, that they haven't yet laid it at Your feet or turned it over to You, Lord, that today would be the day. Lord, if they don't know You as their Lord and Savior, then today's the day to lay that burden down and become a child of God and enjoy this precious promise in their lives. Lord, whatever the need may be during this time of invitation, would You work in our lives, speak to us, and draw us to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.